As today, we know it's the day of Epiphany, a day that the wise men came to bring gifts to our Lord Jesus Christ. As one reads through the portion of Scripture, you will find hearts of envy, hearts of anger, and hearts that are troubled. And you will also find that there will be hearts of a longing to worship and of great joy. As we go through Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, as I read through the scriptures to find out more about these wise men, there isn't very much. It doesn't exactly say when they came, but it must have been some months after Jesus was born that the wise men came to seek him. And some of the reasons that I say that is because Joseph and Mary were living in a house, and Jesus is referred to as a child and not an infant. And King Herod has attempted to murder all the male children the male boys under 2 years of age. And it was through the wise men that King Herod heard these things. And it says that all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. Notice in the book of Matthew that it does not tell us anything about the shepherds coming to visit Jesus in the stable. His focus was immediately on the foreigners coming from the east to worship Jesus. In verse 1, he asked, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" Now, if you look at the book of Matthew, it portrays Jesus at the beginning and at the end of this gospel as a Messiah for all of the nations, not just for the Jews. Here the first worshipers are the Magi or the wise men, not from Israel, but from the east. And then at the end of Matthew, the last words of Jesus are, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." This not only opens the door for us as Gentiles to rejoice in the Messiah, but it added proof that Jesus was the Messiah. Because one of the repeated prophecies was that the nations and kings would in fact come to him as a ruler of the world. Isaiah 60, verse 3 says, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." So Matthew again confirms the Messiahship of Jesus and shows that he is the Messiah, a king, a promise fulfiller for all nations, not just for Israel, but for us, and not only for the Jews. In verse 2, the wise men, they ask, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" You know, the wise men were asking about a newborn child destined to be King of the Jews. If you think of society today, somewhere in Canada, there's probably 3 or 4 children or younger people under the age of 18 who are one day going to be the Prime Minister of Canada. But nobody really seems to care about it, or they set out to find them or to honor them. But as we focus back on those wise men, the wise men, they didn't ask if there was a king that was born. They didn't ask, "Who is the king?" No, these wise men ask, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" What an important and remarkable thing that these wise men asked, and the faith that they had. Their search and their achievement. These wise men were not Jews, they were Gentiles. And when you think about these wise men, talk about a longing and a desire to meet and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about a long trip that they had to take back in those days to see the King of Kings. And when you look at the Jews that lived right around where Jesus was born, it seems like there was little or no effort made to even to go and see him. But in the hearts of the wise men was a deep longing for the appearance of the Savior. So the question this morning for each one of us is, what deep longing is in our hearts for 2018? Is it more time spent with family, with friends? Is it more time for vacations? More time at work to make more money? If you look around in society, I think, in general, shrubbing off a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ is getting more and more evident. That longing and that close relationship that we want with him isn't there. But as you look at these wise men, there was a desire to come and see that king. May that same longing be in your hearts as we continue on through life. Just like it was with those wise men, their search and their achievement. There was a longing to see that Savior and the desire to fall at his feet and worship him. And I need to ask myself, maybe you need to ask yourselves this morning as well, how much time do we take to worship him? To spend time with our Lord. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, God's word to men is this: "Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." God is waiting to direct us to his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. just as the star appeared to guide those seeking men to where Christ was. So the Holy Spirit longs to lead us to the feet of the Savior, that we can come and worship Him and adore Him. That is my prayer for you as a congregation, for myself, that there would be that longing to worship Him more and more instead of less and less. May we search Him with our whole heart. Over and over, when you read the Bible, there's certain things that baffles us, or our curiosity gets to us on just how certain things take place. How did this star get these wise men from the east to Jerusalem? In verse 2, it says that they saw a star in the east, and they came to Jerusalem. And how did that star go before them in that 5-mile walk from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, as verse 9 says that it did? And how did it stand over the place where the child was born? The answer is, we don't know. But what is plain concerning the star is that it is doing something that it cannot do on its own. And that was that it was guiding the wise men to the Son of God to worship Him. And there's only one person, and that is God Himself. So like Luke shows how God was influencing the entire Roman emperor, so that the census comes at the exact time to get a virgin to Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy with her delivery. Matthew shows God influencing the stars in the sky to get foreign wise men to Bethlehem, so that they too can worship the King. That is God's design. He did it. And He's still doing it today. His aim is that all nations, according to Matthew 24:14, is that they would worship His Son. It's God's will for each one of us. May it be at your office at work, your neighborhood, or even your home. As John 4:23 says, such the Father seeks to worship Him. At the beginning of Matthew, we have a come and see. And at the end of Matthew, we have a go and tell. The Magi, or the wise men, they came and they saw. And you and I are to go and tell about Jesus Christ. But what is not different is that God is still gathering nations together to worship His only Son. Verse 3 says that He was troubled. And the only reason that King Herod was troubled was because the question that was asked by those wise men: where is He that is born King of the Jews? And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and it says that all of Jerusalem with him. In other words, he was hearing that there was a Messiah that was born. And that was not going over well with King Herod. The second kind of people who do not want to worship Jesus is the kind who are deeply threatened by Him. And that is Herod in this story, a man that is really afraid. He's so afraid that he schemes and he lies, and he commits this mass murder just to try to get rid of Jesus Christ. And I believe Satan must have done his utmost into Herod's heart. And that was to put envy and fear into this man. That this is the last thing that King Herod wanted to hear. That there was a king being born. And not only was King Herod troubled, but it says Jerusalem with him. And you know, to an extent that surprises me that all of Jerusalem was troubled. And why I say that is because King Herod, he gathered the Jewish leaders together to answer the question that those wise men asked. And immediately they pointed to Micah chapter 5 verse 2. And it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Those leaders knew, but they were not ready to believe. And not one of them volunteered to go with those wise men to seek if there was really a Messiah born. And we can see how God has offered a clear invitation to his people through Micah when he said to watch Bethlehem. The people remembered the invitation but failed to take it seriously. When you look at King Herod and talk about a king with a lot of impact on his own people. A strong, strong ruler. To have the people of that city to be on his side. Because it says the people were troubled with him. King Herod must have had a lot of power and authority and control. And he was to the point where he wanted to find out desperately where this king was. There can only be one king and only one position. And fear and anger and jealousy was in this king's heart. Verse 4 makes it clear what the Magi really wanted or really meant by King of the Jews. It says, "Gathering together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born." Herod had been called King of the Jews by the Senate in Rome for approximately 40 years. But no one had called him the Messiah. And the word Messiah means a long-awaited God-anointed ruler, one who would overcome all other rule and bring to an end of history and establish the kingdom of God and never die or lose his reign. So we don't know how much the wise men got their information that there was this king coming, but it was very clear that Herod got that message. That these wise men were not searching for an ordinary man. They were searching for the King of Kings. If you look back in even Luke chapter 2, how Anna and Simeon, how they were looking for the king as well. It's amazing how King Herod didn't even know the simple scriptures about where the Messiah was to be born. And he asked the scribes, and their focus is on Micah 5, 2, and here in verse 6, where it says, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And the reason, or the only purpose for which the scribes quoted this verse, was to answer Herod's question. Where? In Bethlehem. Verse 7, when King Herod called the wise men secretly, he inquired of them to diligently seek and find out what time that star appeared. It was Herod's fear that caused that question. What time did that star appear? That is what he asked those wise men. And what amazes me is when the Jewish leaders answer the question that the wise men asked. And King Herod doesn't question his leaders about anything. You know, it makes you wonder if something fishy was happening. But obviously those Jewish leaders knew where their boundaries were under King Herod. Verse 8, we see that King Herod tells the wise men to search diligently for that young child. Diligently means carefully. It means thoroughly or attentively. And then he says, and report back to me. King Herod was out there to find out as much as possible about this king that was born. And he makes it sound very interesting to those wise men. It makes it sound like that there was a longing to know more about that king. And then as you get to the end of that verse, it says, that I may come and worship him also. And you wonder if these wise men were reading the thoughts of Herod's mind. But when you go back to verse 2, it says that he was troubled. King Herod was feeling uneasy. He was disturbed. He was worried. There was something that was bothering him. King Herod was afraid that he was going to lose his leadership, his kingship. And I believe his heart was feeling heavy and burdened down. What's on your heart this morning? Are we uneasy on the inside? Disturbed? Maybe full of worries in life? Are we worried about our life as to where our relationship with Jesus Christ is? Is there peace and joy on the inside? Or are our hearts like those wise men? Verse 9, it says, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen went before them until it came and stood over that child. The word behold caught my eye. This verse indicates that the miraculous star was not only visible to the wise men. As they started toward Bethlehem, it says that they saw that star again. And it was almost like that God used these wise men to proclaim to the Jewish leaders and to King Herod that the king of the Jews was born, since the star was not visible the whole time. And again, we see another seed that has been planted, and the Jewish leaders do not respond or are invited to answer that call. Their lives and their hearts could have changed had they followed those wise men. But they chose to live under King Herod. Verse 11 says, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were tokens of devotion and dedication. And as far as the wise men were concerned, the babe of Bethlehem was the King of Kings, and therefore worthy to receive their best and their all. What do you and I give to our Lord? Do we give him 5 minutes of our day? Half an hour? An hour? Do we give him our all? Can you and I give him any less than what we do? But after these wise men, they found that young child. It says they fell down and they worshiped him. And it was after this that God was at work again, telling those wise men in a dream to not return to King Herod. The angel also appears to Joseph in a dream, telling him to flee into Egypt until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child and want to destroy him. You know, I can't imagine what went through Joseph's mind. But you would think nothing else would have hit his heart except fear. But again, we see how God works in among his people. To whomever the angel spoke to, says they obeyed. Again, walking by faith. Verse 16, King Herod now realizes that those wise men were not returning and that he has been deceived. Herod is extremely angry at this point, and he orders all the male babies, 2 and under, to be slain. And Herod thinks that that will take care of everything by aiming for the years of 2 years and under, and that that king, that Messiah, would fall into that category, and King Herod would achieve his victory. It is unreal that the bitterness and the coldness of a man's heart in order to try and maintain a certain position in life. But as we know, this brutal act of Herod that he tried to go about did him no good at all. All the envy and the fear that was in his heart didn't put him ahead of anything that he was trying to accomplish. So in this portion of Scripture, there's a huge lesson for all of mankind. And it was the footsteps that these wise men left for us. What is important and remarkable about these men is their faith. Their search. And their achievement for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These wise men, they were not Jews, they were Gentiles. And just look at the example of these men. A longing and a desire to meet and see the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they met that child, it says they fell down and they worshiped him. Is that same longing and desire in your heart? To worship our Lord and Savior like it was with these wise men? If it isn't, may God work in your heart that that would be your longing and desire. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we want to thank you for the power of your word. Father, we can see how power and authority and selfishness can bring envy and bitterness and anger. And Lord, we can also see a desire to meet the Lord of Lords. How we can truly have joy, peace, and love in our hearts as we worship
and bow down before our King and Savior.
Father, we pray for each one here this morning. Lord, as you look into our hearts, may you see love and joy and peace. Father, we also pray that if there's hearts that don't know you, Lord, that you would continue to nudge them. You would work in them that they would turn to you. Father, may we be obedient to the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we also ask that you would continue to strengthen that longing and that desire to know you better. Father, we thank you that you're the true God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you for being here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.